Hey everybody, are you trying to get fresh for the holidays? Do you need to get a lineup right before you meet your significant other's family? Then come on down to High Bridge One Barbershop located in Bowie, Maryland. I've been getting my hair cut there for years, and not only is their service the best, but the barbers are the best as well. They will captivate you with not just their love for families, but also with their professionalism. And trust me, you will not be disappointed. Look, just because 2020 was rough does not mean our hair should be. So come on down to High Bridge One Barbershop, making the community shine. DMV's number one barbershop serving men, women, and children. Located at 6125 High Bridge Road, Bowie, Maryland, 20720. That's 6125 High Bridge Road, Bowie, Maryland, 20720. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing my good friend, Shannon White, who is a wife, mom, counselor, investor, and youth minister who's on a mission to show young people who they are in Christ by turning candid conversations into real-life kingdom abundance. We had a conversation about forgiveness with children and with teenagers, and when I tell you that the conversation was insightful, it was very, very insightful. Here's the interview. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I have a very special guest, my good friend and fellow classmate, Shannon White.
Hey.
Honestly, so y'all have heard my podcast before, and I'm friends with a lot of dope people, and she's one of them. So I'm very glad to honestly connect with her. We were in this program called the Academy of Finance, right?
Thank you.
Now, I want you to hear this. It was like 31 people in the class, and I was only one of two guys in there.
Accurate.
I was only one of two guys in there. And so, not gonna lie, it was exciting. Won't lie, it was. I was, and you probably know this, but every guy friend I had was like, yo, how do I get in this class? I'm like, hey man, I don't know, they just put me in here. I ain't got
I'm just grateful.
I was just like, don't ask me, I'm not the connect, like, talk to somebody else, because it sure enough wasn't me. But that, you know, it was able to help me connect with, you know, you and a lot more people I still keep in contact with. So definitely thank you. So please tell the people who you are and what you're about. Tell them.
Hey everybody. So my name is Shannon White. Yeah, we've been together. It's 2006.
Oh dear.
Long time. It's in a year. We've been together.
Y'all can do the math. Y'all do the math.
So I'm located in the DMV area. I'm a mom of two, love my kids. I have a six-year-old and a three-year-old. I have a husband, an amazing husband. I love my husband. I'm a Jesus kid, but I'm also a counselor. And so I am a licensed counselor, but my specialty is K-12. So I love working with teens, tweens in particular. Those are my favorites. I'm a youth minister, and I'm an investor. I just do a lot. We wear a lot of hats, right, as people. So, like, just living life and enjoying myself, even though we're in a quarantine. Like, I'm having a ball. So that's me, y'all. Shaden.
I'm sitting here going off out of all the stuff you doing. Oh my God, go, go, keep, go, keep, go. But that's so dope. It's, oh my gosh, that's dope. It's really good to see how, you know, people who you were young with and grew up with see where they are now. And it's amazing. Yeah. So
our friends are doing some really cool stuff. Like, it's watch the people who we were in high school with. Like, it's an honor to be like, wow, you're doing this and this and that. And like, yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here just like, whatever you do, just keep doing. Just keep going. Keep doing whatever you're doing. And do not stop. Yeah. But oh my goodness. So I want to start off with a fun icebreaker. I want to ask you this. If you had to delete all but 3 apps on your smartphone, which ones would you keep?
Okay. I would keep MetaTrader 4 and TradingView, because that's how I make my money from my phone, from trading.
It's necessary. Facts.
Those are my coins.
Facts.
And I would probably... Does that include cameras and stuff too?
Yep, it does.
Ooh, wait a minute. Let me think. Let me call. Let me redo it. Let me re-go again. Wait a minute. Okay, I got it. So MetaTrader 4, because that's my broker, how I make my coins. Mm-hmm. Then my camera, because memories are everything, right? Yeah. And then I probably would keep an alarm clock, because she likes to take naps. It's like I'm in the nap ministry. I take a nap every day in order to function, like, and not be like this evil person. I need Jesus, but I need naps too. So those 3, because I get on Facebook online, like I can do everything else online, but I need my coins, I need my camera, and I need my naps. Amen.
That's nothing but facts. That's nothing but facts. See, that's hard, because I had to think about it. Okay, so... Oh, goodness. Come on, Dwayne. I will keep my text messages, because I text message like crazy. I need that.
Think about them.
I'm going to do the Bible app. I will do the Bible app, because my devotions is on there. Mm-hmm. Now I got one last slot. That's hard, because I got like 5 apps that could go into that slot.
I want to redo.
My calendar. I need that. I need my calendar, because I would lose track of everything. Like, oh snap, I was supposed to have a doctor's appointment today. True. Okay, I forgot. I ran out. So I got to pay my late fee. All right, that's cool. I'll do that. I'll do that. But you want to redo?
I need to think about the calendar or the text messaging. Oh my God.
You want to redo?
I want to redo.
All right, I'm going to give you a redo.
Okay, here we go. MetaTrader 4, because that's the only way I can get on it. Text messaging, because that's how I talk to the people I really care about, right? Facts. Like my top, my family's in Indiana, right? That's how we talk.
Facts.
And I probably still stick with the camera, because my kids like it and I like to have that. Everything, yeah. I can try to figure out, like finesse.
Yeah.
That was like, how will you forget text messaging? Like, who does that these days, Shannon? Like, come on, girl.
Yeah, and the thing is, I just thought about it. What about my pictures? And I thought about it. Someone can take a picture and then text it to me. So I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Find a way around.
Like, I got a plan.
You got to find a way around some things. You have to. Yes. Yeah, so I just want to get into it now. So you said you were a licensed counselor. You work with kids and teens, and you're also a youth minister. And so with this podcast about forgiveness, I just want to start it out really quickly. What does forgiveness mean to you?
I think forgiveness is releasing somebody from an offense, releasing somebody from the burden of offending you.
Yes.
I think a lot of people don't realize that. People say you can forgive and forget. I forgive, but I don't forget.
That's nothing but facts.
Still, if you're not forgetting it, you haven't released them from that burden of whatever they've done, you know? And if you're married, if you have kids, like, you low-key gotta forget it, like, in order to move forward in a healthy way, right?
That's perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you say forget, what I have a feeling some people is like, I can't forget some things. From when you say forget, for me, it's just like, oh, I don't think about it that much anymore. And it's like, oh, they did that. Oh, man, all right, whatever. So yeah. I love that. I love that definition, because some people think that forgiveness is weakness, and it's definitely not. It's definitely not. It's honestly, even though it is what God told us to forgive, but it is for us. Yeah. It's for our benefit.
Because it's a bondage if you don't release the person, right?
Talk about that one.
At the end of the day, it becomes like a stronghold, right? But also, even as a counselor, right, we know that we hold stress in different places. And so there may be some things that you may be experiencing. Like, I know I hold stress in my shoulders and I get heavy, ooh, right? So if you're always tense and you don't know why, it's like, I don't really know. I mean, we have life, but like, you don't know why. It's because you haven't released some things. And if you're trying to, I won't forget it, but you're not willing to release it, not for that person, right? But just so that you can be free, right? So that you can just like woo-saw it out and enjoy your days. You're hurting yourself. You know, nobody got time for that. Not in 2020.
Oh, especially in 2020. After the year we had, you need to release that.
Everything.
Out of everything we went through in 2020, you can release that. So
listen, you don't got nothing
but time. Man, what? And you said it, because I said it before. When you hold unforgiveness, it has a physical bond on you, not just mental and emotional, but physical. It could physically deteriorate your health. And that's something we do not need, especially if it's something that you can control.
Yeah.
Yes, we definitely need you to release that. So as a counselor, I want you to speak on what you can speak on, because I know that you can't, you know, speak about specific things. But if you can you speak on some instances where you've seen forgiveness work? And can you also speak on to where not forgiving someone has hurt someone, if you can?
Sure. So we can go with when we've seen forgiveness work. Okay. And that can go from, I'll go from children who haven't forgiven their parents. And a lot of people don't realize that as parents, we don't know what we're doing. Like, that's the truth, right? And so sometimes we do damage to our kids, right? Not intentionally, but we hurt them and we offend them. I'm a big, probably every week, at least once, I apologize to my kids. Like, not
wow,
but because I need to show them, one, like, I'm not perfect. And listen, like, I'm trying to figure out this thing just like you, right? And to teach them humility, but to also teach them the power of forgiveness, right? Yeah. I teach them about Jesus and be like, I'm the mom, I'm perfect. Like, you better do what they used to tell us. Do as I say, not as
I do.
Mama, right? No such thing, right? Because I've seen so many young people who are holding stuff and they're angry.
Yes.
Right. And they're angry because of something their parent did. And it could be something small, but such something as small as working so much. I know I had a young lady who her mom worked a lot. She was taking care of her. Right. Like, it wasn't like this bad thing the parent was doing, but she missed her mom, you know. And so, like, being upset about that was a real thing. But then we were able to work through some things. And she also had some other issues as well, like sexual assault and things like that, that she was also holding as well. But once, that was one thing that we could, like you said, one thing that we could handle. We could have handled the man who did this to her. He's gone out the country. We can work through it. But for your mama that you see almost every day, we can do something about that. So just in speaking to her and just doing some talk therapy and just allowing her to understand a different perspective. Because a lot of times we don't forgive, we don't know, or we're not willing to really see the other perspective. It may not be right, but at least to hear the other side with an open heart. And so once we were able to talk with her, she was able to, one, tell her mom. So many people are mad at people, they ain't even tell them what they feeling, how they feeling. You know?
Oh my gosh.
You know, so that was the first part, was releasing her to be vulnerable enough to give her truth. And she wasn't ready to say it out loud, but she wrote it in a letter. Yes. Right. And so from there, you know, I had her actually for 2 years. And so she, you know, we would check in and see how she was doing across all planes. But she was like, we're hanging out more. Like, it's better. It's good. Like, I see her. She's not working as much. Or if she does work a lot, we make sure that we have special time together, you know? So it helped mom to be more intentional. And just as adults, we just don't realize sometimes how our kids, or how kids in our life, or young people who look up to us, right? Whatever capacity, how sometimes we don't get it right. And sometimes giving them that space to tell the truth. There's been times when my son has said, I'll ask, like, what kind of mommy do you think I was today or this week? And he'll give me feedback. I'm not too proud to ask. Like, you were too busy this week. Hurt my feelings a little bit, but I'm cool with that. You know, because it let me know I would not dare be pouring into other young people. And the kid in my own house feels like I didn't see him this week. Or feels like we didn't have enough family time this week, you know? So forgiveness, I guess, in that space was really giving somebody vulnerability and an opportunity to say their truth in a whatever way is comfortable for them. And I think, what was the second one?
About a story, have you seen how not forgiving somebody and the impacts of that?
So I've also seen where, I've seen where there have been adults, right? There've been adults who have just gone through their own stuff, right? They have certain things that have happened to them in life, teachers or, you know, whatever, adults, even in youth ministry, really. But adults who have been through some things and haven't released it. And then what happens is they end up taking it out on the person who they're called to serve.
Wow.
I may struggle with somebody mishandled me, or somebody talked bad about me, or somebody didn't honor their word to me, you know? And so I hold that. And if they see, or they're called to serve a person who has similar characteristics to that leader, that mentor, that person, sometimes they unintentionally take it out on them because it's a trigger.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't realize our triggers, right? Certain people do certain things and it triggers us, you know. Mm-hmm. Even for myself, I've had a mentor before who she reminded me, because I've had church hurt. If you've been in church more than 5 years, 10 years, I'm sure you've had church hurt in some capacity. It's a real thing, right? But she did something to me that was done years and years before, but it was a trigger for me and it caused me to shut down. Mm. Right? But yes. I had to realize, like, you've let that, at least I thought I let it go. And I might have let it go, but I may not have healed fully from it. So I was still like in a protective mode. So then when it was time for me to serve in that capacity, the other women I was called to serve in that circle, my cutoff game is real strong. And when your cutoff game is real strong, that means you got unforgiveness issues. Let's be clear about it. I'm going to leave that there though. But when you start to do a trigger point, adults, which is to the question, their cutoff games gets real strong, or their temper gets really short, or how they respond to somebody is a protective mechanism because they haven't really let go of whatever that thing was, and that child or that person brought it back up and they weren't ready for it. So they responded in the way that they knew how, which was in fight or flight or freeze. And most people fight.
You know how people just say stuff and you just sit in it and it's just like, that was beautiful. All of that was necessary and it was beautiful at the same time. Oh my gosh. So one of the key things you said is triggers. A lot of people, here's the thing, I've heard of triggers, but I didn't really know what it was. Of course, people say that in joke, like, oh, I'm triggered, but you really don't know what that is. And when I realized what that was, you know, when either a specific, from my understanding, whether a person says a certain thing or does a certain thing that brings back into remembrance from the past, that's serious for some people.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't know the difference. And that's what people need to realize. Perception is reality, right? People say that, but literally your brain can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not. So that's why visualization is so key. And people like people who are successful, they do visualization, because if you're thinking about something, it sends signals to your brain, right? And your brain just goes through the entire process of what's happening. So that happens in a positive way. So we do visualization for positive, right? For where I want to be, where I want to go. I see myself here. I see. And so it causes your mind and your body to respond in that space. But it's the same way with negative things, right? Okay, this comes to mind. Trigger, pew. Okay, body is like, fix it, you know? And it may not even be a real thing, but if it even appears to be something in your brain, in your mind, it's a real thing. That's why, never mind, I'm gonna leave it alone.
No, go ahead, it's right there. It's sitting right there, keep going.
Let me say something. Let me put a disclaimer out there. I am not a holy roller or anything. I love Jesus a lot. But can I say something about Ratchet TV?
Go ahead. Let's go.
Because what happens is we normalize that in our brains to be, sometimes you need a ratchet pleasure, like whatever, right? But the reality is that what you're feeding, again, your brain can't tell the difference between reality and perception. And so when you're putting yourself in those environments where you're constantly watching this, mm-hmm. every time you're watching something, every time you're going through something, you're creating connections in your brain, right? And so watching these things and seeing how these people respond, yes, you may not be throwing water and drinks and stuff like that, yeah, but your tolerance for things may become less. Your tolerance for your spouse when they're crappy, because the spouses can be crappy sometimes. I've been married for about 10 years this year, so I can say, right? So, right, it can be, you go through seasons of marriage, right? Your kids can be crappy sometimes, right? But watching these type of things or whatever, reading it, whatever, it causes signals to happen in your brain. It causes connections to happen that when these triggers happen, when these things happen, it reminds you or your brain, oh, I saw that. I ain't going through that. I ain't doing that. Mm-mm, you know? So it may not even be so deep for you, but the reality is that connections are so sensitive in our brain. Our brain has millions and millions, right, of connections and synapses. And it's just so important that we guard our ear gates, our eye gates, to make sure that we're just making us our best self. Because we all have things that we have to heal from, whether it be big or little, you know, and just being honest with ourselves, like, this isn't a good space. Maybe you can handle it, but if you're in a particular season of your life where you're trying to heal or you're trying to fix some things, you got to protect kind of your space so that you can give yourself room, you know, to heal and to grow and to forgive. And doing stuff, watching stuff that doesn't show that ain't gonna help the group.
That's nothing but facts. And brings up a verse that says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If you don't guard that, wells are known for being filled with water, but wells can be corrupted. And it could definitely corrupt who you are. And this is nothing but facts. Because as you said, you could absorb all this, because the mind is like a sponge. And if you absorb all this, and another thing you said was it creates connections. Would you also say that it also desensitizes you to things?
Because it makes it normal. It makes it like a typical thing, right? So we have schemas in our brain. And I think of schemas as like, I know people don't listen to this anymore, but like CD players.
Oh.
Or like a playlist. Now it would be a playlist, right? I'm aging myself. Like a playlist. Right. So that's how we can, you drive home from work, or you used to drive home from work without thinking about it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I plan my youth ministry lessons in the car on the way home. Like, I do my best thinking in the car by myself. Got my going, and I'm just like, oh, that'd be good. This be like, right. So I'm saying this to say that when you're looking at stuff, you're creating schemas, a playlist of, okay, when this happens, it's an automatic, I don't even have to think. Like my brain, it's like a muscle memory. Yes. Once you keep seeing the same thing in your brain, because your brain is a muscle, right? When it keeps seeing the same things or similar things, you're conditioning it to respond without having to overthink. And sometimes how we're conditioning ourselves to respond is not healthy.
Yes, that's true. So that's key, which would bring me to this question. What would you say to the audience to help them to kind of form connections to help forgive? What would you say to that?
I would say one or a couple of things. The first thing is, one, gratitude is a big thing.
Yes, it is.
And I know it doesn't seem like it's connected, but sometimes it's, or a lot of times it's so much easier to remember the negative over the good. And I'm not saying, like, let's say Dwayne does something to me, I'm just going to write all the positives about him. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying being grateful. And this sucked for me. He did this to me. This is a reality. But I have these other things that are going good.
There we go.
Just being able to acknowledge some other areas that are going well can help to open up space. Because sometimes we get so preoccupied with what's wrong, we don't really have room to do the work. You know, so that's one thing. I think the second thing would be definitely to find out or to write out. I like to have young people and just people in general. If somebody did something to you, write a freelance letter. You know, just have a letter, paper to pen, and say everything you want to say to them. You don't even have to give it to them, but just get it out. Everything that comes to mind, write it down. Good, bad, indifferent. Everything you would want to say to them, get it out. If you choose to share it, that's in your own space, right? Because timing is everything. But if not, at least you have written everything down. You've gotten it out. The Bible talks about new wineskin. Sometimes pour some stuff out in order to allow new places to grow. And so sometimes getting it out can be very therapeutic. You know, getting out, making a list even of what the person did. It can be very therapeutic to just be honest and vulnerable in the moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the next thing I would probably say is, if you feel led to do so, and even if you say to the person, if you don't say it out loud, if you're a person who prays, it's okay to say and admit, this is hard. I'm having a hard time forgiving this person. Mm. And if you pray, ask God for help. Like, I'm having a hard time. I know you said to forgive, but this is hard for me. Some of the most healing places, or places that, well, that's not right. Some of the most healed places came from me being honest and being like, I'm angry. I feel wrath. I'm mad, man. You know, and just being honest with God, or having a mentor to be honest with, to say, oh, nah, this ain't working this time. Nope. I'm getting them. Nope. You know, and having somebody that you can trust to say, I know my mentor used to say, she used to laugh at me, which made me so mad, but she would laugh at me and she was like, are you done? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. I mean, I was just need to get it out, you know?
Right.
You know, but then she would help me to, I needed to get it out because otherwise it would bubble up.
Yes.
It would become an overflow thing because the spirit of offense is so big. Offense is huge. So just getting it out, whether it's on paper, I need to get it out verbally, myself personally. So however you need to release that thing is great. But also admit if you're having a hard time and it feels great to say, and even if you just practice it, saying, I forgive this person. Yes. I forgive them for what they've done. Not just like, I forgive you for blank.
Yes, absolutely.
If you can have a conversation with them, that would be great. But if not, you don't need them to do the work. You don't need the other person to do the work. Like, period. It feels nice when they cooperate. Like, yeah, it feels great when they can acknowledge what they've done. But you don't need them to be free.
Nope, you do not. And also, what if they don't acknowledge?
You're going to be mad.
Big mad. the one thing I want, one of the things I definitely want to champion you for is you said you get it out, and that requires a lot of vulnerability. And a lot of people are scared of that word.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I want, the thing is with vulnerability, it's healing and it's freeing with the right person.
Yeah.
With God, of course, and with someone you really trust, not Black or Pookie from down the street. I'm talking about someone who you really, really love and honestly respect their opinion. It could be your parents, it could be a sibling, it could be a mentor, it could be a teacher. Yeah. But someone I would say that you really respect.
And get somebody who would challenge you.
Oh.
Right? Somebody that's your yes man, you know? Somebody who's going to push you. Somebody who's going to push you to take that next level. Because forgiveness is maturity. You know? So if you can't find somebody to push you, like, yes, you got it out now, good. Now what's next? Because you can't stay stuck. Your purpose is too big to stay stuck. The calling on your life is too big to stay stuck. Like, now what's next? And so many of us get it out, but then we pick it back up. And then we stay stuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, the altar is open if you want to lay offerings, lay offerings for Minister White, or if you just want to lay prostrate on the floor. I will be joining you down there in just 2 minutes. I just got to finish this interview. But that's nothing but facts. And also, I say accountability. I would add that as well.
Accurate.
I would add accountability as well because, what's the word? We intend to do right. That's the word I'm going to use. We intend to do right. We are challenged. We're just like, you know what? Yeah, I should do that. But there's no follow through.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be held accountable. I would say by that person, because I'm not going to lie. There are times where I was like, I'll hold myself accountable. I will. I still got to look. I'll call myself, hold myself accountable. I'm going to be blunt with y'all. This is me. I still got an appointment, a reminder from October last year. I ain't due. So,
you know what? Wait a minute. It's accurate, though. It's accurate.
It's accurate. And I was like, but you need somebody to really just hold you accountable and not just say, you need to do this, but someone can check up on you. Maybe some people do need that, but some people who will lightly check up on you say, hey, how is that thing we talked about? Or some people take that next step and say, what can I do to help you with this?
Yeah.
What do you need from me? So I'll say, pray about it and find somebody, you know, who could do that for you. God will lead you to the right person.
And can I say, because I am a counselor.
Go ahead.
Say that counseling would be great. It is a great tool. Like, I've been in counseling as well. You know, I believe the Bible talks about counsel. War is won with great counsel. And forgiveness is war sometimes, right? Your heart is like, I'm over it. But like, as a person, you want to like level up. You want to do better things, but it's hard, you know. But going to counseling, I remember I went through something and I didn't even feel like I needed counsel, but I needed a third party's perspective. I wanted a third party's perspective. I wanted a neutral perspective.
Absolutely.
Because my goal when I told him was, I said, I don't want to allow this to make me a bitter Black woman. Sometimes you got to have a vision for who you're supposed to be. And if anything or anybody gets in the way, you have to do what it takes to protect the identity that God gave you. And being an angry Black woman, being a confused Black woman was not part of my DNA from Christ.
Absolutely.
I had to go and we didn't have a lot of sessions, but I needed to be able to get it out, have somebody to give me the real talk that wasn't connected to anything that I was related to, you know, but that's okay. Even in grad school, you know, I was like, this is too much for me. It's overwhelmed. And sometimes we got to forgive ourselves.
Yes.
Taking on so much or doing certain things.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes. But yeah, counseling can be a great thing. I just wanted to put that side note in there.
No. I talk about that. I talk about that. And I'm going to say out of all the episodes, I'm gonna say all of them, I mentioned therapy and I mentioned counseling. Please do. And I'm, and this is my another main verse that I use is Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Mm-hmm. It's biblical. Do it.
Accurate.
And another thing, like, honestly, there was a shirt. I wish I could find out who made it. It says, I need Jesus and therapy.
Listen, it's okay.
It's fine. Okay. It's absolutely fine. I mean, look, Jesus was an island. He communed with God every morning. I bet, honestly, he communed, like, honestly, I want to break the stereotype because I'll be vulnerable right now. I used to be hypocritical. And what I mean by that is I would say, we as Black men need to go to therapy. I never went.
There you go.
I never went. And I'll be like, look, if a friend of mine went, I'll be like, yo, I support you for that.
Yeah.
But me, myself, I didn't get that support. So I was just like, why do I need to go? I'm B.I. I was not fine. So mm-hmm. when a friend of mine, I talked to him, he's like a brother of mine. He said, yo, I go to therapy. I was like, whoa, word?
Right.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, it's helped me out. That's when I actually did it. And when I tell you, I feel so much more whole, feel so much better. Like, that's my man's 50 grand. I love that guy. Yeah. So I fully champion therapy, counseling, all of that. Do it.
Can I say that? So some things you can't pray away. I am very much, like I said, a kingdom kid, very much operating a prophetic. So understanding that, but at the same time, as Dwayne said, it's biblical, right? Some things come out with fasting and prayer, but just like your salvation, you got to work it.
Talk about that.
Put in the work. And so sometimes deliverance is immediate. There are sometimes when, because forgiveness, again, is a stronghold. The spirit of is a very big stronghold that is tearing apart families and marriages and just our country, right? But at the end of the day, after I get up off the floor or the altar, right, whatever that space is, some deliverance is immediate and some things you got to work out.
Yes.
You got to deal with. Sometimes there's generational curses that you got to break, and that doesn't happen overnight. That happens through putting in the work. You know, putting in the time to say, this can't have me anymore. And I'm willing to do it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. That means you got to put in work. It don't mean you got to cast him out all the time, right? But resist means to like withstand, like I'm not doing this anymore. I'm making an intentional choice not to do this, you know? So yeah, it's okay.
It also says in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. And like you said, when I tell you what you just said is nothing but accurate, because when I got saved, certain things I was struggling with fell immediately. And there are still some things that have to be worked through.
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, what Paul said was his thorn in the flesh. Yeah. It might be it might be whatever it is, but here's the thing. Whatever you are going through, you don't have to go it alone.
Yeah, that part.
That's the one thing I want people to realize. A lot of people say, you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't, but I know that you're struggling with it. Yeah. I know you're in pain. I know it's messing with your relationships. I may not know the specifics, but I know that.
Yeah.
So honestly, Nothing but super facts. I want to say really quickly, I'm going to ask this question. So you said that you apologize to your kids. When I tell you, we didn't really grow up with that. Well, I
didn't.
No. When my look, parents, like my, from what it's like when they were wrong, this is all you would hear. You hungry?
Mm-hmm. This is real cool.
You hungry?
You going to slow walk it out.
You were completely wrong. I made you hot dogs. You forgot about it. But honestly, I realize in this generation, we seen that. And we're just like, we're going to talk to our kids. Yeah. We're going to tell them, it's like, why this is wrong. Instead of, because I said so. No. Kids are curious.
Listen.
They are curious. And they want to know. And honestly, who better to teach them?
Yeah.
But when you said you apologize and give feedback, can I just If no one else does that, you hear me doing that. So when you teach forgiveness to your kids, how does that feel for you when you're teaching it and see that in them?
Am I my kids or my school kids, my actual children?
Yes.
So I think as a mom, it feels great just because there's such a purity there. So they're about to be 4 and 7. And I've been, I feel that a lot of parents, I feel like, you know, the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. So when they're old, and a lot of us are great at parenting, but the word train actually comes not from the word parenting. Parenting means to take care of somebody, right? To do their clothes, do their hair, take them to school, give them a hug, right? That's parenting.
Right.
Training means to develop a specific skill over time. The Bible tells us not to parent them in the way they should go. A lot of us are parenting them in the way they should go. And then they become, then we confuse, like, why they don't love Jesus? Like, why they not doing what I need them to do? But we're not training them, right? Honing a specific skill. So that was something that God gave me to do when my son was like 2 and a half, right? But so we've been doing this for some years, but to hear him and even my little daughter now talk about forgiveness, or even if I say I'm sorry because I was cranky that day or whatever, right? I was hangry or something. There's such a purity there, you know? It's like, it's heartwarming to hear somebody say, you know, and a lot of times, you know, my kids are mushy. So they'll like grab my face and be like, I'll always forgive you, mommy. Like, it's okay. Jesus forgave us. Like, I'll forgive you. So it's like a little stuff like that. That's really huge, because that's my whole end game, is I want you to connect how I parent you to how God parents you. You know, and so I can't be this person talking about God and I'm this Eveline mom behind the scenes and then be talking about this great loving God when in your house, I'm over here whooping you and telling you it's my way or the highway, blah, 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 blah. You know, so hearing that, it makes me grateful, you know, open my eyes to an opportunity to share humility and forgiveness, you know, and the fact that, and letting them know that sometimes the people that betray you, the people who hurt you, are your parents or your family members, and helping them to be equipped for that. My kid is trying to get in.
So, oh my gosh, that's nothing but facts. Nothing but, oh my gosh, nothing but facts.
Because even though I don't always agree with them, their perception is their reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to eat it sometimes.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Like, that's... I'm just sitting in that, because that was a whole... You gave like 8 sermons in this interview. You know what I mean? So I appreciate that. So, yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I want to say, honestly, thank you for this. I appreciate this so much for you speaking. Yeah. And I just have just really two questions for you before we go. What do you wish you learned earlier when it comes to forgiveness?
I think that I don't have to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a season where my husband and I were separated. And that was in that season, God taught me his peace.
Mm.
There were also some things that, like, as a woman, right? And just people were expecting me to be angry, like, and I wasn't, like, at all. But it was just like a place where I was like, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust you, God. And I forgive everything, like everybody. Like, I was like, you get a forgiveness. You, like, I was just handed out forgiveness like Oprah, you know, because I wanted to be free from the pressures of what people expected of me.
Absolutely.
Now, I but just from people in general, because I've always been a leader in different capacities.
Mm-hmm.
And people expect different things from me. And so just being willing to let go of control was, it gave me almost permission to forgive. So I wish I would have learned the freedom that comes with not holding on to stuff. Like, this has to be right, and this has to be, and this, and this, and that. Like, I wish I would have got that earlier, because I would have, the peace of God is like amazing. And I heard about it, but I ain't seen nobody really experience it for real.
Mm-hmm.
Just waking up every day and just feeling free. And God really did a work in me and in my husband. And it was beautiful to see, you know, but it was necessary in order for me to go to the next level and who I'm supposed to be, you know, mm-hmm. and just being like, it's not worth it.
It's definitely like, not.
I don't have to control everything. So I didn't have as many headaches. I didn't have as much. I would get headaches to the point. And I do, like, migraines is something that, you know, has been in the family line, but, and I declare that's being broken off, but I don't have as many anymore. You know, letting stuff go is just, yeah, I wish I would have got it earlier. It would have been so much better. Because I've been in control issues since high school, you know, and things having to be perfect.
Amen to that. And last question, what would you like to impart to the audience about forgiveness?
I think I would probably say that you deserve to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so cheesy and cliche to say there's no time like the present, you know, but life is but a vapor. You know, and you don't know where that person is going to end up. You don't know where you're going to end up. But at the end of the day, like, there's such freedom in letting stuff go. There's such freedom in dropping dead weight, you know, emotionally and physically. And so just remember that you deserve it. You're worth the freedom. You're worth waking up in a peace of mind. You're worth living free from the junk that somebody did to you. You know, don't give them that power anymore, and just enjoy your day. Like, authentically let stuff go so that you can take in everything that God has for you.
Amen to that. Again, when I say thank you for all of these gems and diamonds and rubies and pearls that you dropped, I want to say thank you for that. And I want, please, the floor is yours. Let people know how they can contact you, where to find you, and everything.
Sure. So I'm on social media, mostly on Facebook, Shannon White. But also you can go to my website. It's called Kingdom Convos, Convos, kingdomconvos.org. And it just, my kids are having a ball. It basically just, it'll share everything that I'm doing with young people, with parents. I coach parents, I mentor young people, teens, and even just for financial freedom, working with people for that, just because I want people to be free, like, across the board, spiritually, emotionally, financially, like, be free and enjoy our life as my kids are. I don't know if I can hear them, but they are free because I am here.
I understand that one.
Free.
Absolutely. So everybody listening, I'm going to put this in the show notes just in case you didn't get it. But please connect with her. Please connect with her. She's an amazing person. And y'all just got to connect with her because of all these, look, all these gems and diamonds and pearls, y'all not going to connect with this person. Y'all, I don't know. That's just me. But again, thank you for this. Thank you.
And thank you for the opportunity to share. I appreciate it. It's always fun to hang out and just have some real talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about right there. When I tell you that conversation was A1, it was pure A1. I want to thank you, Shannon, for coming on this podcast and just giving us your insight and giving us your story. It was just amazing. When she said we condition ourselves to respond to specific things, that hit me in the gut. And what she also said, the healed places have always come from where we are being honest. That's true. That's where vulnerability is. And I'm not talking about being open with any and everybody. I'm talking about being honest with God, with a trusted therapist or counselor or a friend. It says in the Bible, where there are a multitude of counselors, there is safety. If that is where you need to go to vent for a counselor or a therapist, do that. It's nothing wrong with that at all. I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power over the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.